Welcome to the CGOB Sports Show podcast. On this episode, we're talking to Martin Baumann, an author who has written a book about his cross-Canada bike ride and what he learned about himself, about Canada, mental health, men talking about their feelings. It's a great conversation, and it's coming up on the podcast. People who know me well know that books haven't really been a big part of my life for a long time. When I was a kid, I'd read before bed all the time, but honestly, since I graduated high school, I could probably count on one, maybe two hands, the number of books I have read. It's pretty sad. Between watching sports and other things and listening to way too many podcasts and reading the odd thing online, I just don't have the time. But I recently ordered a book because I'm going on a trip soon, and having a book is probably not a bad idea, but also because one of them, well, this book was written by an old friend of mine. I went to school with Martin Baumann in London, Ontario. We hosted a sports podcast together called The Locker Room that really no one listened to. We graduated in 2015. I came out here. He stayed close to home as a native of Waterloo, Ontario, working at a news station in Kitchener before leaving broadcasting altogether to become a writer. He embarked on a bike ride across the country at the age of 23, and now he's finished writing about it. The book is called Hell of a Ride, Chasing Home and Survival on a Bicycle Voyage Across Canada. Earlier this week, I talked to Martin about the book, his self-growth, how we as men don't talk about stuff enough, and lots more in a great conversation that's too long to play over one segment, so we'll play some of it now and the rest after 8:30. Well, Martin, my first question is a self-indulgent question. How much do you miss hosting a podcast with me?
I do miss those days. I don't miss the editing whatsoever, but it was a fun time. It was, you know, what better way to spend your early 20s than chatting some sports with your bud?
For like 20 people, or is that being generous?
I don't know if you and I had enough family and friends combined to amount to quite 20 in those days. I think we probably hit 20 for the average. That's probably a safe average. I don't know if we peaked much higher than 40 or so, though.
I could go back and look. I'm sure the archives are still there. I don't think I want to know.
No. I'm also, you know, the less attention drawn to something with no, you know, rights secured for the music or the cover art is probably for the best.
True. Fair enough. So you went to broadcasting school with me, but you got out of that. Why did you want to get into writing?
I think I had always been interested in writing, even as a broadcaster. You know, when I was a high schooler, I wrote for the school paper. Going back even farther, if you want to get onto the psychoanalysis side of things, I delivered the sort of weekly free newspaper in town, the Waterloo Chronicle. And so I think some of that was always in my brain. But, you know, some broadcasters have a gift for just being off the cuff and being able to directly sort of download their stream of consciousness into speech. And I feel like I've always been more skilled in putting my thoughts on to the page. And so, at some point in time, I gave that a try, and I kind of always had it in mind to see what a book might look like, and took some time, you know, seven, eight years in the making, but lo and behold, it's nice to come out on the other side and finally have something to look back on and be able to show for all those hours spent by myself on a computer.
When you set off on this bike ride across the country, did you have in mind the idea to write about it at some point?
I did. I don't think I knew then what shape it would take, and it definitely changed over time. I think when I left, flew out from Waterloo, Ontario to Vancouver back in 2016, I had this idea I was going to have a grand adventure, and the story that I would write would be very much a tale of adventure, an adventure story of you know, heroic exploit and hijinks and all the rest. And I mean, there's definitely hijinks. That's bound to happen on a 7,000 kilometer bike ride. But I think the story that I came out with after, you know, sitting with it and writing and rewriting and revising and talking to people was a much more layered story. Looking back on who I was and what got me on a bicycle to want to spend, you know, 7,000 kilometers by myself riding alone across a country without really, you know, a support system around me. And that was a far more interesting, I think, story to sit in and explore and peel back.
So we hung out a bit when you were on this bike ride back in, what year was it again?
2016. Yeah. We met up downtown Winnipeg. I can't remember what sports games were going on at the time.
It was Euro 2016. We saw Germany and the Netherlands go to penalty kicks. You're a fan of, you have German heritage, so I think they lost. We went to the Elephant and Castle and watched Germany lose, and you were kind of bummed about that.
Yeah. That didn't make it into the book. Spoiler alert. Sorry to say.
We were younger, right? We were 23, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. we didn't talk at all about what you were going through. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, that's part of why you wrote this as men to be able to talk about things that are going on in our lives.
Yeah. For sure. I think that really is one of the central things that I was trying to peel back is what does it mean to be a man and talk about both mental health and trauma as well. I've experienced both forms in my life. I think a lot of us have in different ways. That's one of the things I've really come to believe is, you know, we've all got something in our lives. It may look different for each of us, but for me, you know, growing up, I watched my dad go through depression, and I lost a cousin to suicide. And in my own world too, I grew up really for many years trying to figure out how one of the earliest events in my life that I can remember, which was being molested, shaped me. That was something, and all of those things were things that I kind of sat with and didn't investigate or talk much about. Definitely not talk much about or try to process for a lot of years. Really, really not until after the bike ride or during and the years after. You know, I think there's something in being a man, and maybe especially being a younger man. I do believe this is changing. I feel like we're starting to have more of these conversations. But, you know, if you go back to the old notions of masculinity being about strength and sturdiness and sort of the Clint Eastwood Dirty Harry stereotype, or take the Arnold Schwarzenegger stereotype, or the Batman, Bruce Wayne, or so on, like these sort of men who reveal very little and are always kind of the emotions that you're permitted to feel are less sadness than anger. It's a sort of a more limited range on the spectrum. And I don't think that does us any favors. The bike ride, I think, for me was a chance to... in some ways, I feel like on the bicycle, I was playing out some of the same stereotypes. I was trying to conquer whatever baggage I carried with me by doing this trek alone and painting myself as the hero. But in looking back on it and writing about it, I think it was more realizing, man, was all of this just a long way of finally kind of trying to talk to somebody, and thank God that I was able to. You know, I met so many people along that bike ride who were fantastic people who ended up having great conversations and connecting and you know, reminding me that despite what it may feel like at times, feeling like I was alone, definitely I was far from it. And there was a lot of people out there looking out for me. And I believe that's true for all of us. We're less alone than we think we may be.
Forgive the metaphor, but did you, in writing, look back and feel like maybe you were biking away from something or towards something?
For sure. I think there was both of those things. You know, I don't know if this is a personal or universal experience, but I think, you know, in my early 20s, my relationship with home was complicated in that it felt like a place that I, you know, was always kind of pulled back to, but also simultaneously felt called to leave. And I don't know if that's growing up in a sort of smaller city that's sort of a satellite city for, you know, the big smoke of Toronto, and being sort of the younger brother in a province, if that's whatever it is, you know, that was just my experience growing up, was wanting to get out, get away. And I think some of that is sort of the classic young 20-something wanting to set out and conquer the world. And some of it is feeling like, man, there's been a lot of heavy memories and I need some space to figure all this out. And so, yeah, the bike ride, I think, was maybe fleeing away from some of that, but also biking toward, you know, because I was doing this as a fundraiser, I was riding and raising funds for mental health at the time. I think that was my way of trying to crack open that door and starting to have some of those conversations. I wasn't talking a lot about myself then, but I was beginning to inch that sort of conversational door open, to the point where I could feel more ready and comfortable to let the guard down and give people a more of an honest sense of who I am and just talk about real life things.
It's author Martin Bauman, writer of the book Hell of a Ride, where ever you get books online, you can order that one. More of our conversation coming up later in the show. We talk about his journey and how it positively impacted his relationship with his dad. I'll ask some not so hard-hitting questions as well about the logistics of biking across the country. But when we come back, we'll shine a light on some high school volleyball standouts that have received some big scholarships this week. That's coming up in 2 minutes. Right now, it is time for part two of my conversation with author Martin Bauman. You may have heard earlier in the hour, part one. Martin has written a book about what he learned from biking across the country when he was 23. It's called Hell of a Ride, Chasing Home and Survival on a Bicycle Voyage Across Canada. It was released on paperback a few weeks ago, and here is part two. In the description of the book, it calls Hell of a Ride a coming-of-age tale of a son's search to connect with his father and also come to terms with his own past. How did the ride and, in a way, writing this book affect your relationship with your dad?
Oh, man. You know, it was really special. He joined me. He came out. He had recently retired at the time I was doing this ride. And so he came out to join me in 2016. Met me near the Manitoba-Ontario border, just by the Service Ontario stop. And we stuck together for 5 days. He basically drove alongside as I rode from Kenora through to Thunder Bay. And that was really special. Fast forward 3 more years, you know, the ride's over. I'm back home in Waterloo. And then I move away to Victoria. I start a master's program. I start writing about writing this book and reflecting on all this. And he flies out with my mom and one of my aunts to visit me in Victoria. And the two of us ride from Tofino to Vancouver to kind of complete one part of the stretch of Canada that I hadn't done before. And that was really meaningful too. You know, it's been a new relationship in some ways for us, because he's gotten to know parts of me he didn't before, and vice versa. You know, I think we've had some conversations where I've gotten to be filled in a little bit more of his past, and that's brought us closer. The sons and fathers, man, something about it. I'm expecting to be a dad myself, in a couple months, and you know, I'm kind of just bracing for what that next stage will bring. But I'm really grateful. I write about this in the book, but I really admire the heck out of my dad because, you know, we talk about this masculine example of being sturdy and strong and revealing very little. And the fact that he in his life has been able to seek out help is really admirable. I really admire him for that, in setting an example that, you know, you don't have to go through something alone. You can seek help, and that's been a real positive influence for me.
For men reading this book, especially someone like me, I'm your age, I've got a dad too, that we haven't really talked a whole lot about our pasts together, honestly. Is that something you hope people, it can open up perhaps conversations between sons and fathers?
Yeah, I think that's part of it for sure. I definitely hope that for anyone reading it, that it can be a conversation starter. I hope people can take two things away more than anything. The one being something I've touched on already, which is, you know, you may think you're alone at times. Depression can definitely do that. You feel your perspective narrows, and you can sometimes it feels like you can only see, you know, a foot or 2 feet in front of you, and that can feel really lonely. You know, meeting people on the road across Canada, you know, meeting a guy, Dave, in Vernon, BC, in a parking lot, who basically became like a sponsor to me and set out to find hotels that would put me up for free, again and again throughout the ride. Meeting people, whether it was like a high school classmate's godmother in Banff, or you know, meeting people at a campsite in, you know, Fort Capella, Saskatchewan, where we have a conversation by the bonfire, and then I wake up the next morning, and by my tent, there's a little Ziploc baggie with a peanut butter and jam sandwich, and like a juice box and a couple cookies left for me. Like those kindnesses, large and small, were real reminders to me that people do care and you're not alone. But also, I was really reminded of how much we matter to each other too. You know, I think I had this idea that I would be proving something to others or to myself by doing the ride by myself. But it didn't take long for me to realize how much I really depended on other people, and how important we are to each other. I was riding through Saskatchewan, just crossed the Alberta-Saskatchewan border, and was on my way to Maple Creek. And it was a windy day. And unfortunately, this day, the headwinds were against me. So I was battling, you know, 20, 30 kilometer an hour headwinds. And then the rain started to fall. And then these, you know, gray, black, roiling thunderclouds are looming above. And suddenly I'm the tallest thing for miles. There's no trees, no fence posts. And I didn't want shelter in that moment. I didn't want, you know, the storm to pass. I just wanted somebody else to be there with me. I just wanted company. And it felt so obvious then that, you know, it's one of the strongest drives we have, I think, is human connection. We really, we are a social species and we need each other. And I think and hope that some of that comes across in the book, along with any sort of conversations that might come between sons and fathers, or parents and kids, or you know, siblings, whoever, friends too. You know, I think there's a common story that you know, again, that people are carrying a story we don't always hear. I hope that this can be a spark for those kinds of conversations, where friends, family, we can all get to know each other a little bit better.
A few rapid fire things before I let you go about the logistics of biking across the country. Did Manitoba have the worst roads?
I can say unequivocally, yes. That was unfortunately the case. I was hoping it might have changed in 8 years, and I don't know if that's true.
Don't think so.
But I am sad to say Manitoba was definitively the worst cycling experience of them all. Beautiful, beautiful province. Saw some fantastic sunrises and sunsets. I love my time in Manitoba. I was very glad for a smoother ride in Ontario and basically anywhere else but Manitoba.
How much weight did you lose?
I think I lost about 15 pounds through the ride. I was eating a ton. You burn it all off basically. So I do remember being hosted by a guy in Dauphin, Manitoba. Brian was his name, and he had cooked chicken breasts. I'm sure there was more than chicken breasts for dinner. I think there was rice and some veggies too. But I think I ate like 4 chicken breasts. I think I still managed to lose about 15 pounds by the time the ride was over. Gained it back though, for sure. The years will do that to you.
When it was over, did you ever want to see a bicycle again?
I left my bike packed up in a box for months. It was actually my dad who put it back together again. He was kind of tired of it taking up space in the garage and was asking me sort of week in, week out for months if I was going to reassemble it. And finally, he just did it. I'm glad he did because I still have the bike today. It's in my shed now in Halifax, and I mean, it needs a tune-up right now, but I still ride it. But yeah, there was a period of time for a few months after that I was pretty happy to drive. The irony of a bike ride was that it taught me the modern miracle of automobiles and how amazing it is to get somewhere very quickly.
The hardest hitting question of all, and it is, how did going to the washroom work while you're riding a bike across Canada?
Side of the road. I think my body did train itself pretty quickly. The morning poops happened. I think that's still a word I can say on sports radio.
Yeah.
Mornings were for poops. Anything else, side of the road, no real issues of modesty.
So just riding the Trans-Canada Highway, stopping at the side of the road.
Yeah, basically, try and find a tree. Some provinces are more amenable to that than others, but that's all there is to it, I think.
Okay, good to know. The hard-hitting journalism right here on CGOB. Martin, thank you very much for this conversation. It was very, very awesome to hear from you, and best of luck with the book sales and becoming a dad soon.
Thanks, Christian. Really enjoyed this too, and great to talk to you again.
That is Martin Bauman, author of Hell of a Ride, Chasing Home and Survival on a Bicycle Voyage Across Canada. I'll be bringing it with me to Fiji in Australia. It's $23 on Amazon or McNallyRobinson.com, wherever you get books, you can find it. It's not just me saying this because I know the author, but trust me, Martin is a very good writer, and I'm looking forward to learning more about his journey.
Well, thank you very much for listening to the CJOB Sports Show podcast. If you like what you heard, guess what? You can hear more every weeknight on CJOB from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Thanks again for tuning in. Subscribe if you'd like. We're available on iTunes and other places, I'd imagine. So farewell until we meet again.
Come on and thanks for all the fish. So sad that it should come to this. We try to warn you of the deal. You may not share our intellect, which might explain.